Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to the next episode of Dudes on Hockey. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Bracken Kurtz. Tim Kennedy. We don't need anybody else, dude. Bracken Kurtz.
Martin Havlock, get out.
Get out. Mr. Glass, you're never playing again. We don't need you.
Bracken, we have Bracken Kurtz.
Tim Kennedy. Let's play him 22 minutes a night each. Yeah. Sharks. Tied it up. 2-2, dude.
2-2, dude. We got ourselves a series now.
Absolutely.
We got ourselves a series.
It was a great last couple days here as the Sharks claw back into a series that, you know, many pundits have said the Sharks have dominated, really, you know, with some moments where the Kings have, obviously, at the end of game two, which I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on that, dude.
Yeah.
Because that's the past. That's the past.
Yeah.
I want to live in the now.
Well, we should talk about all three games that happened.
Oh,
dude.
Well, what I'm saying is, really, back to game one, the Sharks have been the better team the majority of the time. If you were to break down period by period, the Sharks have won more periods than the Kings in terms of dictating the play.
Yeah, I think that's true.
So while that doesn't translate into a win every time, and of course all that matters is that you win.
That's right.
The Sharks were able to turn them into wins in San Jose in game three and four, and they have to feel pretty damn good going into tomorrow night's game in LA. I do not think the Sharks are afraid of the LA Kings at all.
Not anymore, especially after we saw some great periods. Certainly we saw good periods in game two, even though the loss we saw. I thought game three was a great game for the Sharks. I thought game four, actually, this is something maybe we can talk about in a minute. I thought game four might have been the Sharks' worst game of the series so far.
Interesting. I don't know.
There's no doubt that the first period of that game was an exercise in domination.
Right.
The Sharks just completely tooled the Kings the entire period. And frankly, I was a little nervous. The Sharks were only up 1-0 at that point.
Sure.
Because we saw Quick put up some huge saves in that period. And
right.
We've seen some fluky bounces in this series before. We've seen fluky bounces in other series. And the next thing you know, it could be tied. And then all of a sudden, it's different. But I've been really happy with the Sharks' play in all four games. And, you know, I was even happy with the Sharks' play in the first two games, and I can't even remember a time where I felt that way about the Sharks when they were losing. So, good sign.
Yeah, no, definitely a good sign. Honestly, better than I expected. I mean, really, the way the Kings finished off St. Louis, even though we both agreed that this was the best path, you know, put the Blackhawks off, although now with the Blackhawks losing that series 2-1, although I think we both suspect and I fully expect the Hawks to just spank the Wings tomorrow night. I can't imagine them losing that series. But anyways, that the Kings were going to be the best chance the Sharks had to get to the Western Conference Finals. The Kings are so good at home. To see them lose the first two games on the road was not surprising. But the Sharks continue their home dominance and win these next two games. And I mean, tomorrow night is critical.
Oh, yeah.
Critical. It's the series.
Whoever wins tomorrow night wins the series. I think that's absolutely true. I think it's absolutely true. Because if the Sharks don't win tomorrow night, then think they have to win at home in Game 6 and then on the road in Game 7. They have to win two straight on the road in Game 7. And, you know, maybe the Kings aren't known for the most rabid hockey fan base in the NHL, but still, you get a Game 7 in a big city, people get excited. And they certainly had plenty of fans in the first couple of games. So that's going to be a very tough game to play on the road. So, but if the Sharks win Game 5 on the road, then they can clinch in Game 6 at home, and the Sharks are great, so great at home. I want to see them win so badly tomorrow.
I don't want to be overconfident, dude, but I expect it. At this point, just the way the series is going, I think they're going to win the series. I just do. Sitting here right now talking to you, dude,
yeah.
I think they're going to win the next two games. I just, the way that they're playing, the way the guys are rolling right now, if they can continue the way that they're going.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've seen it go the other way.
Yes.
You know, and that team hasn't shown up yet. The team that lays the giant steaming turd. We haven't seen them yet, even in the two losses, like you said.
That's right.
That team has not showed up. And there's been every opportunity for this team to disengage. They are down, you know, two regular players, you know, Havlat mm-hmm. and Burrish out.
Torres
out, so they're down three.
Yeah.
We have to talk about that, too.
Yeah.
Down three forwards. You know, Couture leaving for a good stretch in game three.
Mm-hmm.
Losing Hannon for part of game three. Losing Vlasic temporarily last night. You know, there were definitely moments where this team could have thrown a pity party for themselves. But they haven't.
No, they haven't.
And they've responded, and some of the guys, like, I'm going to throw out a name right now, like James Shepherd. He's played well.
Yes, he is.
He's played well, and he's been physical, and he's been responsible. And those guys, and I hope I'm not jinxing it, dude, those bottom six guys, they're not making mistakes, and that's what you need.
And they're playing a lot. That's the one thing that continues to surprise me. I see late in the game, last night, I see that fourth line on the ice, 5 minutes left in the game, and guess what? There's James Shepherd on the ice. To be honest, I was surprised. I was surprised at that because...
Well, they're playing well. I mean, those guys, when they're playing well, they deserve to be out there. I mean, we talk about a guy like Bracken Kearns who played one game during the regular season, and now he's played every game in this series. And I don't think he's logging huge minutes, dude, right? I mean, he's getting eight minutes. I mean, but still, I mean, not making noticeable mistakes, being physical, being responsible, strong forecheck. Those are the kind of minutes you need from those guys. And I mean, I'm reading that Adam Burrish's hand is feeling better. If his hand's feeling better, I honestly don't care. Because right now, I wouldn't want to pull Bracken Kearns out, right?
Yeah, let's not forget that we weren't exactly, you know, captains of the Adam Burrish fan club here for most of this season. I can't say he's played that well, and we've certainly talked about how we didn't like his contract as it currently sits, and that's not to say that Adam Burrish couldn't come back with a vengeance and play the way we hoped he would play, but there hasn't been a huge track record of great play from Adam Burrish here.
Not this year, and I don't really know why. I didn't hate the signing when it happened. I liked the idea of Adam Burrish. We just haven't really seen that player who's been strong penalty killer and effective in a fourth line role. Now, maybe with the team going in the right direction and this guy who's been there before will be able to jump right in and not do anything stupid.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know if I'd mess with it right now. Anyways, I don't think Burrish has a broken hand, right? Or a broken finger.
Probably.
So yeah. I think they even came out and said as
Did
much.
They?
I read that. And Demers has a sprained ankle.
Right.
And Havlat has, I don't know what is wrong with Havlat.
There's a lot of dirty jokes I can make right now, but I'm not going to because this is a family podcast.
Okay, dude. All right. Okay. I don't expect Havlat back, period, this series at all.
Especially since he basically got not blasted by the coaching staff, but I think that maybe
he got blasted. Dude.
Okay,
don't
yeah.
sugarcoat
McClellan
it.
Wasn't happy that he came back, and he clearly was not 100%. And it wasn't close. It's not like, oh, he's a half step slow. It's like he's two steps slow, and he's not. It doesn't look like he's trying, and he's lost his puck handling ability, and he's not skating. It's like. He looked like half the player. He looked like he was playing at 50%.
He says there's a difference between playing hurt and playing injured.
Right.
And Couture was able to come back and play hurt. Havlat was injured, not able to perform,
right,
and should not have taken a roster spot that night. And he got chided for it, and justly so.
I think
we're not going to see him this round.
No, I don't think so. In a way, I appreciate the gumption from the part of Martin Havlat, because I'm sure he knows as well as anyone that, I mean, we've seen Kevin Kurz and others kind of blast him, say that we should use the amnesty clause on Martin Havlat. It's not really his fault that he gets injured, right? It's not like he tries to get injured. If there's something that he does that he gets injured, I don't think there's anything that he is consciously doing that gets him injured. It's just some people are more injury prone than others. Some people fall down a lot. Some people run into a door jam and break their arm, and other people just sort of bounce off. It's not his fault.
I guess, yeah, but I think the knock that I've also heard about Havlat, and, you know, this is just all rumor board stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Was that, you know, he babies himself and maybe doesn't play through some things that other guys are able to play through. Like, clearly Logan Couture had a problem,
yeah,
and was able to score the game-winning goal
in overtime.
So who knows? I mean, we don't know what's wrong with Havlat. Maybe, yeah, it's something very serious. I mean, we don't know.
I have no idea.
You know, and if it's a groin, I mean, that can be really difficult.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that affects everything.
Sure. So,
well, we certainly know that he wants to be playing.
Sure, of course, but he's not able to, and he's making a lot of money, and he's being counted on to be a guy who's brought here to replace the unproductive sloth that Danny Heathley was in the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why he was brought here. Oh, Havlat's so good in the playoffs.
Mm.
Well, I'd love to see him play.
Yeah.
So that he can play in the playoffs. Honestly, if we make it to the next round against Chicago, we need him.
Oh, yeah.
We need him.
We need all the guns we can get.
We're going to need him. But we shouldn't, even though we're feeling confident, dude, and maybe a little too confident.
I'm not feeling as confident as you.
Yeah.
I have to be honest. Yeah. You expect the Sharks to win this series. The wild card in this series, as we've seen in nearly every game, is Jonathan Quick. Jonathan Quick can all of us. The Sharks should have probably won game one. They probably should have won game two, or at least won game two. They were ahead, obviously, with a minute left to go, or whatever, 2 minutes left to go. And, you know, you look at Corsi numbers and advanced stats, and the Sharks have been dominating in that regard. And the equalizer has been Jonathan Quick. And these are exactly the kinds of players you need to win the Stanley Cup. He won the Conn Smythe Trophy last year. If they win it all, he'll probably win it again. I mean, he's their best player. He's their best player, without a doubt. So, yeah, if Quick suddenly manages to step it up a notch, anything can happen. I like the Sharks' chances at this point.
Step it up a notch? He's been pretty damn good.
I know. I know.
I mean, the game last night could easily have been 3-0 in that first period, and he saved their butts
so
many
times. Oh, yeah.
And the thing that I like about it is the Sharks are fighting through that, and I mean, Quick is, Gagliardi today used the E word, which I really enjoyed that. He said that Quick is, dare I say, embellishing contact in the crease, which I really like that. He said, I'm not going to go so far as to, you know, go BX-a here, but,
right,
you know, he called out Quick for, you know, he said, I didn't touch him, and he's selling,
yeah,
these moves. And if he feels like he's got to be at that point where now he's, you know, going to do a 2-minute Shakespearean monologue every time someone goes through, oh, how forsooth my pads.
Yeah.
Downeth goes the goalie. Et tu, Brutus.
I think all goalies embellish. Almost all goalies is just a question of how much. I've never seen a goalie being caught for diving, and I've seen goalies dive dozens, yeah, and dozens of times.
But this guy,
the reason why he dives, the reason why other goalies dive, is because they can, and they always get away with it, and there's no downside.
I don't see Niemi do that stuff, dude. Do you?
I've seen him, maybe not as much as other goalies, but I've seen a couple of contact.
A couple of times, yeah, but not as much as Quick's been. I mean, Quick after game three, it was like Woody Allen, like going after.
What do you mean? What do you think I'm doing?
This penalty is so unfair. This is the worst Woody Allen impression I've ever done.
I can't believe I don't even have a Woody Allen impression.
But there was contact. There was definitely contact.
This is one small step away from Carol Channing.
You're a Carol Channing. I'm cooking in a hockey show. Raspberries. Dude, I mean, yeah. he lost it. He lost it in game three.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yes.
That's great.
And there's one moment specifically in game four where Gagliardi is skating up the goal line from the corner towards the net. There's two or three guys standing in the crease waiting for Gagliardi. The play is you fake and you go around behind the net, or you try it and ditch it out front. Gagliardi takes it to the front of the net. He takes it right down Quick's throat. He doesn't ram into him, but he's right there on top of him. They are not shying away from that contact. And I think that's a really good thing. You got to get in his dome a little bit.
Yeah, it's strategic. I mean, teams used to do that against the Sharks all the time,
yeah,
and Nabokov all the time.
Yep.
And you know, I think that's part of the strategy here, whether they'll admit it. And I think it's working. It's working. I mean, Quick's, you're never going to beat the Kings 5-2. I mean, that's just not, it's not going to happen. Like, they're too good defensively, but they are having a hard time scoring. The Sharks are doing a very good job on Kopitar and Justin Williams.
Yeah,
Those guys haven't really done anything.
Yep.
And if they could keep those guys off the board, you know, the Kings are vulnerable. Their third defensive pairing is weak.
Yep.
Right now, I mean, Matt Green didn't look very good at all.
No.
I mean, he's coming off a major back injury, right?
Yeah. He can't be 100%.
So they're playing him. They probably shouldn't be. And it'll be interesting to see if they do.
Willie Mitchell's obviously still out.
Well, Willie Mitchell's not out there. You know, they're playing, you know, Muzzin extremely sheltered minutes. You see, you can't play Doughty 30 minutes.
They tried. He played like 26 last night.
That's a problem. I mean, like, that's going to be a problem for them. You know, so if the, you know, not having Jarrett Stoll, okay, well, you know, that balances out us not having Torres, dude. Shall we talk about that?
Yeah, 27-42 for.
I thought you were going to say
for Danny last night.
2,742 games is what Torres was suspended.
You know, 27-42. It's funny because, you know,
2,742 games is what Rafa Torres got for hitting him in the head. 2,742 games.
That'll be his next suspension.
That's what you get, Rafa Torres. You're dead to the league. Okay, I'm done.
Are we done?
Yeah.
Okay,
dude. I've done Carol Channing.
Yes.
Done Woody Allen. I just sang a little Rent. What else?
Ethel Merman later in the show. No, oh, no, no, no.
Oh, Fresco.
Okay, no. I should never have said that. So, Rafi Torres, it was a bit of an interesting controversy. We called that, I think we made, I certainly made the wrong call. I was wrong. I was way wrong about what I thought. I thought Torres might just get the unofficial one-game suspension and come back at the hand slap, but instead the league suspends him for the rest of the round so he can still play in the playoffs. And then,
what did I say, dude? Didn't I say?
What'd you say?
Did
you say anything?
I did.
I think you said like 5 games or 10 games or something. I can't remember what you said.
I might have. I said 5 games. That's right.
Yeah, you were right.
Don't know. I can't remember.
But then more controversy ensued because Doug Wilson put out a statement backing Rafi Torres 100%, and then he gets slapped with a $100,000 fine, which is nice.
I liked that this was brought up. I can't remember where. Somewhere. That Wilson criticizes the NHL over the suspension and gets $100,000. Jonathan Quick says some terrible things to the referees at the end of the game and gets fined $200.
Uh-huh. Well, it's different for players, for one.
I guess. Yeah. I mean, like, it just seems so strange.
Well, it's also public, right? I mean, Doug Wilson said things publicly.
Didn't Doug Wilson, I mean, he must have known that was going to happen. That's worth $100,000 to the Sharks franchise?
I guess. Maybe that was surprising. I don't know. I agree with everything you said, frankly.
Everyone seems to agree with everything he said, except for Daryl Sutter.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he's got a.
I think that was
he's
really
got to back
bad
his
hit. That was really darn.
He's got to back his player. You can't.
How many people have turned off the podcast so far because of my impression?
Jack Nicholson soon, dude. Jack Nicholson at the Kings games. All right.
Give me a chicken sandwich.
Do they serve a chicken sandwich at the Staples Center?
Hold the toast. Give me a chicken.
What are we doing? What are we doing?
Dude,
this is the playoffs.
This is the best episode we've ever done. Dude. We're excited. It's 2-2. Dude, the Sharks are in it.
It's so funny because I was so expecting the Torres suspension to be a death blow to the Sharks' aggression, willingness to mix it up physically, and it's anything but.
Yeah.
The Sharks have continued to roll as physically as they have.
Some big hits. Stewart, big hit.
Yeah.
Burns, a big hit last night.
Burns went absolutely nuts that one shift. He it looked like he was going to punch the guy in the face, but he ended up just sort of pushing him in the chest and just throwing him down like Douglas Murray has done. And then he just rocked this guy in the court, just basically just took off like a freight train, just boarded a guy. I'm mad. Blah.
There's the Dustin Brown, Logan Couture, slow motion Matrix moment, too, where they both sort of went in the air and collided. That was weird, too.
And then Couture said that, oh, yeah, he lined me up the whole time, and then he fell down at the end to make it look like it was incidental, which actually I think may not be that far from the truth. I looked at that hit again today, actually, to be honest, and I think Dustin Brown actually fell down legitimately. I don't think he dove, but I don't think there's any doubt. You saw him lower his shoulder immediately prior to just rocking Couture, and Couture did not see that hit coming. He didn't brace himself at all for that hit.
Right.
And Brown definitely did. So, is it a penalty? No, I don't care. I'm not gonna whine about it in terms of whether it should have been a
Jonathan
penalty or not.
Quick.
Everything should be a penalty. But
I don't know. Hannah and her sisters.
God. Oh, God. Yeah, it's been a tough series. It's been a physical series, and the Sharks have risen to the challenge. And I mean, I really hope they advance because I can't wait to see how their game will change with Rafi Torres back in the lineup. Like, I really want to see that. I want to see it go up another notch. I really want to see that happen. And you know, I'm so
it's
glad they can keep going.
Yeah, it definitely encouraging. And I don't even know if we've seen the best of Niemi in this series. Like, I feel like he's been good, but I don't feel like he's been great.
I agree with that. There's been some rebounds that, you know, his rebound control has been so good in the regular season. It seems like there's been a couple of fat ones. He's making the first save, as most NHL goalies do, but with the exception of that Carter goal in the first period, one game. But no, I think he's played well, but not spectacularly well. Yeah.
And even the goal last night in game four where the Kings scored after the Sharks penalty killers basically were out there for an hour and a half.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
Joe Pavelski was like in an 8-foot box. He couldn't go anywhere. He's like,
you want them to clear. But in that situation, you go, well, okay. I mean, okay. Like, they scored in that situation. You don't want the Sharks to be in that situation. At least you understand. Like, I mean, that's how it happened, and they killed the penalty valiantly for a long time. Mm-hmm. Those guys were out there, and they almost got it off. Dude, let's talk about Joe Thornton last night.
Someone put some in his Cheerios. I don't know what, but he played like a man possessed. It was just, he was a one-man wrecking crew.
In the first period. It was almost like, anywhere he went, the puck went to him.
Right.
And he could do nothing wrong.
And if he went towards a guy who had the puck, he ended up walking away with it. That was the most insane thing. He's going up against, you know, great experienced NHL players that have been trained for 20 years, 25 years of their life to, you know, dump the puck off, get the puck up the boards, do all these things. Joe Thornton rushes the guy, forechecks him, and then he ends up with the puck, and then he's making a feed.
Physically dominant, defensively awesome, and it wasn't even about the assist, which was pretty great.
Amazing.
But I don't even know if that was the best part. I mean, we've seen him make passes like that all the time.
It's
to
sad
the point
that
where we almost take it for granted.
It's sad.
Right?
It's pedestrian now, but the first pass to Burns where Burns, you know, shot in and went off quick was an amazing pass, not much time or space to give it to Burns in a very small window where Burns could receive it and make a pass, and of course it was right there. And then Burns skates backwards to the crease, and Joe threads the needle again, lays it right on his tape again, and Burns buries the second shot. It's just awesome play.
Yeah. Can he do that again? Like, I wish he'd do that every night.
Right.
Like,
I wish that's what everybody said, right? Boyle said that, Couture. We need to see Joe play like that every night. If he can.
So, reading both those comments, very complimentary, but also slightly insulting, actually.
Bit of a call out.
A little bit. Yeah. A little bit. This is Logan Couture's team, dude.
It's more like, thanks for dressing up. Why don't you do this more?
But isn't this Couture's team clearly Couture's team at this point? Even though Joe's got the C, this is Couture's team. He is the pulse of this team now.
Yeah, I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. He certainly seems to be more willing to be vocal in the press. We have no idea what things are like behind closed doors, and that's really what
matters. I'm not even talking about his voice. I'm talking about the actions on the ice.
Yeah. But, I mean, it looked like Joe's team.
It did.
On Tuesday night.
For one game.
Yeah.
I want it to be Joe's team every night, because if the Sharks play like that, with Joe playing like that, they could very well go all the way.
They could beat anybody.
They could beat anybody. Well, dude, that's why I expected. I'm expecting it right now for them to go in there tomorrow night and win. I'm going to my first playoff game on Sunday, dude. I'm excited. Haven't been able to go to any of the games yet. I have a ticket for Sunday night, dude.
Nice.
And it's one of those.
Do we even know game time at this point?
We don't.
Yeah.
It's extreme high or extreme low. It's either going to be a clinching scenario or it could be a death blow.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping it's clinching, dude. I remember how much fun we had after the Sharks clinched a spot in the Western Conference Finals. After we beat the Red Wings, it was an epic party.
Game 7.
So
that was a very nerve-wracking time, because that was the time where the Sharks won the first 3 games and then gave up the next 3.
Right.
And it was like, are the Sharks going to be the third team in history to blow it?
Yeah. That was
scary.
That was awful.
It really was.
And these other 3 series that are going on, you know, Chicago down 2-1 to Detroit, dude. I'm surprised. I mean, I never expected Detroit with this roster to be able to be in the series this much.
Yeah, I don't really get it. But when you have 2 of the best players in the world, I guess anything can happen. And Jimmy Howard has really stepped up. He's played really, really well. So I guess that's been sort of the key to their success.
Yeah, we'll see. Game 4, the Wings win at home. Go up 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That would be something.
I mean, wow. I mean, that's
shocking.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
And I mean, it would be.
That's like the last thing you would expect
to happen. No, it would be the last thing you would expect to happen. The Penguins seem to have a stranglehold on the Senators. I'm surprised, you know, especially how the game started tonight, where Ottawa was ahead twice, looked like they might win the game, and it just completely fell apart. I thought the Senators had a chance because of Craig Anderson, and actually they're losing the series because of Craig Anderson.
Yeah.
He has not been good except for in one game.
Win by the sword, die by the sword, I guess.
Yeah, well, his sword is...
Is Vokoun still?
Vokoun has been fine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But good enough.
Which is a lot better than what Fleury was in the first round. Fleury was downright awful in the first round. So I think moving to Vokoun and sticking with him is the right call, frankly.
With Boston on the verge of sweeping the Rangers, if they're able to win tomorrow night in the Garden, which I think that's going to be a hard game for them to win. For the Rangers to get swept, I don't expect...
Torts is going to get him up. He's going to try and get him to have some pride.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Rangers fought back and won the next 2. I the way Boston's gone, been hot and cold.
Yeah, they have.
You know that, or maybe they're in the zone right now.
Well, certainly Brad Richards is in the doghouse. There's quite a few controversies going around the league. He played 8 minutes or something in the last game. This is the guy who's their highest paid player, I think, right?
Yeah. So. I mean, there's we've seen a firing today. Alain Vigneault, bye-bye, you know, courtesy of the Sharks, out of a job. And you've got to think that if the Rangers get swept, that Torts is probably going to follow him out the door. I would think, you know, his job will be on the line, dude.
With all the changes made to that team this year and in the last couple years, I don't know if I would agree with that decision. You could see it because it's New York and everybody wants somebody's head when things don't go right. But, you know, they overhauled the top 2 lines of that team in less than a year. And yeah, okay, everything didn't automatically just click, but that doesn't mean it's not going to.
I don't know if guys, I mean, do guys like playing for him? I guess they'll find out.
I guess we're going to find out, know? Yeah. That may be the...
whether or not, you know, you've got Brad Richards playing 8 minutes. You know, usually when stuff like that happens, that's not a good sign.
No, it's really not.
You know, that if you're resorting to stuff
that's
like that...
That's like Joe Sacco tactics when, like, everybody on the team hates him.
Right.
Yeah.
Speaking of, I mean, that scenario is very interesting right now where Patrick Waugh's brother, Stephon Waugh, came out and said that he's going to be the next coach of the Colorado Avalanche, Patrick Waugh, that is. And now he's backtracking.
Really?
Saying, oh, well. Maybe not. Oops. That was not me.
It's been like a slow train wreck for like 10 years, this Patrick Waugh coaching the Avalanche thing.
Well, Adrian Dater wrote today that Waugh wants some sort of reassurance from the ownership that they're actually going to like maybe put some money into this thing and an attempt to get some good players there. And he's not just going to be coming in and coaching the same group of ragtag misfits that they've had the last couple of years, which, you know, if he really wants to coach in the NHL, there's going to be a few jobs available to him. And I would think, you know, he could probably have his pick, you know, other than, I mean, Vigneault's out there, Lindy Ruff's out there. You're going to have Dave Tippett probably out there. You know, Waugh's in that mix, doesn't have an NHL coaching experience.
Glenn Gulletson?
No.
He's fired.
I know, he's fired. Yeah. I mean, so is Guy Boucher, but I think both those guys will...
Glenn Gulletson's already back in Saskatoon or something, isn't he?
Yeah, he's helping out right now or something like that, but... What else was that? Dude, I was going to say something else.
You don't have your notes, dude. You got all these notes. What do your notes say? You actually prepare for this stuff. Oh, did you read the comments on the blog? People were mad that we're not posting
enough. Oh, I did see that.
Yeah, which is pretty funny.
That's a compliment.
It is, absolutely. It's better than people saying, it's much better than the comment that says, you guys post too many podcasts.
I'll tell you what, when we go to the Western Conference Finals, we will post at least once a week.
Way to go on a limb, dude. Thanks.
No, we'll if we're making it that far, dude.
Oh yeah.
Oh, we'll be much more regular.
Yeah, I think so.
We will eat our all brand.
We'll be like Metamucil regular.
Oh, yeah. We will be flushing through your podcast tubes.
What an image.
Get the diaper.
Dude, keys to game 5. What do the Sharks need to do here?
Don't take penalties.
Yeah.
This is so cliche. I feel like a broadcaster.
It's like NFL. Turnovers could be key.
Win the battle on the boards. Keys to game 5. Stay aggressive, but don't take penalties. The power play on the road has been bad. Mm-hmm. The Sharks need to fix that. If they can win the special teams battle, and that includes the penalty situation, then they should win that game. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's my big key. You know, win the special teams battle, win the game.
Good call, dude.
That's it? You don't have anything?
Oh, see if you can knock down quick a couple times.
Yeah!
I want to see more of that. It's tough to not take penalties in that situation, but don't back off that engagement with Quick in the crease. Like, do not let him move around. Stand on the edge of the crease and do not give him the ability to move out of it. I think that's going to be a real key, because when he can be super aggressive, he is a very athletic guy, and he can go outside the crease on one side of the goal to outside the crease on the other side of the goal. And if you can limit that movement, he's out of his comfort zone. We have to keep Quick out of his comfort zone in order to win this series.
After this whole season of ups and downs and some severe downs, I can't believe I'm saying this, dude. Sharks in 6. It's going to be over on Sunday. And we'll just be waiting for whoever wins that Wings-Hawks series. I believe it. Sharks fans, I hope you believe it. Dude, do you believe it?
I believe it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I believe it.
Hate the show? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.